Everybody ready?
Yep.
Hold on to your butts.
Don't cross the streams.
Don't let the dinosaurs eat your face.
Spare no expense. Okay, I'm done.
Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hi, Ryan!
Hey, Jocelyn, I'm here. How are you?
I'm fantabulous. I had a nap. It went well, except that I woke up and felt really gross, because I always do that when I have naps. But I was just so tired. This week has been so crazy stressful busy for me.
Mm-hmm. And naps don't really jive with me as well. They seem like a good idea, and then you wake up, it's like 10 p.m., and it's like, ugh, I should just go back to sleep.
But then you can't go back to sleep?
Yeah.
I set an alarm at least. I was like, okay, an hour max, and then it felt like I just laid down, and then my phone went off, and I was like, gah!
You must have been really tired if you were just, like, zonked out right
away. I did completely, which I normally can't fall asleep when it's bright out, so it was just, oh, man, it was totally weird. So... But I feel a little bit better now. I have my nap, and I've been up and around and stuff. So, you know, I've kind of shaken the cobwebs, and now I'm having a Diet Coke.
Ooh.
So, yeah, now I'm going to be up till like 4 in the morning and totally screw up my schedule. But
well, you know, your Galaxy at War rating probably needs the extra attention.
Oh, man. I'm not going to be able to play this weekend. I'm so sad. Vetoed my taking the Xbox down to Halifax. So.
Did you mention the Fez thing? I thought that would have gave you a shoe-in for sure.
He says he can just play when I move.
Oh. Well, you tell him you're deleting it off the internet before you move.
Yes, it's just no longer going to exist because I say so. Can you imagine the power?
Yeah. Could you imagine if you could cut and paste off the internet?
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot
or
of people.
A complete and utter mess.
Well, I mean, if you're someone that, like, had a lot of blackmail on the internet on you, like, cut and paste would be great, right? Just like, oh, there's that video of me doing the Star Wars kid dance. I better take that off the internet. You know?
There's a video of you doing the Star Wars kid dance?
Oh, you know, during my... I guess it would be college years. There's videos out there of me. Anything.
Chat room, Google, which is an excellent time for us to mention that we have a live chat room. So if you come and join us around 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard or Eastern Daylight Time now, God, that messes me up every time. If you come join us at 9:30 Eastern, then you can join in the chat room, join in the fun, and help us out when we get stuck. And you can also help us find videos of Ryan doing the Star Wars kid dance.
Yeah, and you know what? If for those in the chat room, don't you dare ping us unless you need us. Because I swear, if you cry wolf one more time, stop on the podcast. I will shut this thing down. Just kidding. Don't go anywhere, please. I didn't mean it.
So yes, Fez. I have been playing some Fez. Not so much this week. Actually, this week for me was totally the weekend of Blizzard. I played WoW, I played Diablo 3, my whole entire weekend was just sucked up into Blizzard. They make some really good titles, man.
Oh,
but you played
yeah.
something that wasn't Blizzard, so what did you play? Let's start with your non-Blizzard talk.
Alright, let's get this out of the way. We announced actually before the weekend, it was kind of like the beta weekend, right? You know, Diablo 3, obviously, which we'll get into later, but also Terra, a new MMO coming out, I think, mid-May, probably. Lou mentioned it on our PAX episode. He played it and didn't really like it.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this is that it's an MMO, but it ignores the standard MMO combat style. So, you know, you have your 1 through 10 buttons, and, you know, you just queue up spells, and you stand there. You don't move, and you just stand there, and you shoot your spells, and the guy dies, and you move on. Mm-hmm. The difference with this one is that it's action-based. So you have to – it's kind of like a fighting game where you have to queue up your moves and move around. Like, everything is positionally based, right? So if –
okay.
So if you dodge, that guy's going to miss his attack. If you run and you're out of that guy's, like, area of effect or, you know, wherever he can hit you, he's going to miss. Whereas in other MMOs, like, if a guy chases you, it's all directional, right? He's going to hit you even if you, like, run behind a tree. It's still going to hit you. So that's cool. I really like that. Another interesting thing that I figured out is when you start the game up, it prompts you whether you want to start with a keyboard or a controller. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is that a lot of people don't see MMOs working on consoles. And when they do, they're required to have a keyboard and mouse. I don't know. Have you ever played an MMO on a console before?
Oh, come on, Ryan. You know my first MMO was WoW like 2 months ago.
I know, I know. I have never
You're
played it.
You're screwing with me on purpose.
I have not played an MMO on a console before, so I thought it was interesting. So obviously I grabbed my controller and I started playing, and it works, it's functional, but you know, it doesn't remove the need for a keyboard, which doesn't make an MMO work on a console. But, you know, it's interesting in the sense that I can lay back and queue up spells and attacks with my controller. But it's not perfect because the UI is definitely made for a keyboard and mouse, because when you're with that controller, as soon as you need to do anything like, you know, check a quest, equip stuff or whatever, it's just a cursor and you have to like control it with one of the joysticks, right?
Right.
Which is not very intuitive at all. It's actually really annoying. So I stopped that pretty quick. But another neat thing is that the prologue, when you start up the MMO, is that in the first like 5 minutes of the game, whatever class you pick, you start off at level 20. And you're given kind of a preview of all the spells you're going to have. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, just for the beta?
No, actually, for the actual MMO. It's really neat.
Why? I don't understand why. If like, why don't they just make level 20 level 1? Like,
well, see, that's the thing. Part of playing an MMO is trying to feel out your character, and sometimes you can't tell if you're going to enjoy the character until you've like got 5 or 6 spells under your belt, right? So when you drop into the prologue, you're starting at level 20, and you have access to all your spells. Now, mind you, when you leave the prologue area and it starts the game, you're back to level 1, and you lose all those. You kind of get Metroided, right? You lose all your powers.
Oh, okay. I get it. I thought you meant that, like, you just start at level 20, and then that's how you play the game from level 20 to 21, 22, all the way up, and that's just how the game goes. I'm like, well, why don't they just call that level 1 and 2? Why put the 20 in front of it?
Well, yeah, you're right. That actually would be pretty weird.
So it's like, I don't understand. I know I'm blonde, but come on. That's
well, to be fair, I kind of was like not explaining it fast enough, I guess, but it is really cool. You get to try out your character, and if you don't like it, the prologue lasts about half an hour. So if you don't like it, you just delete the character and start a new class, right? It saves you having to grind out those first 20 levels to see if you're actually going to enjoy the class.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I thought that was really neat. And those first three things that I mentioned is what's different about this MMO. You know, whenever an MMO comes out, the first thing you notice is the different things about it, right? So Star Wars had that VO that was super different. And
Star Wars had lightsabers.
That too. Well, yeah. It had lightsabers. You could play a Jedi, and it was very story-focused. But where Terra starts to lose me is that the action combat is not... It's there. It's different. But it's not, like... You know, if I want to see third-person action combat, I want it to be on par with, like, Fable or, you know. And it's not. It's very clunky because it's still within an MMO, right? They have to make those sacrifices to be sure that all the mechanics are working well.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I didn't like, and again, this is just my personal opinion, the anime look and feel to the game. It's very... Well, it's a Korean game, so it's very anime-based. Not a huge fan of anime, and one of the things you first notice is a lot of the armor doesn't really cover, you know, body parts very well. I mean, your boobs better be made of fucking steel, because if you take an arrow to the chest, you're down. It's just, it was, yeah, and every, and not just the girls, the guys too. Like, there's a main character, and the funny thing is that the quest actually called out to it. Like, I'm reading the quest log, and it's like, oh, you want to go talk to Lorion, you'll notice he's the guy in the loincloth and the open jacket without a shirt. And I'm like, that's nice. I'll be able to spot him from a mile, I guess. So,
except that everyone is dressed like that.
Well, yeah, like every armor piece you pick up is just like, you know, it covers the necessities, I guess, in order to make it not Age of Conan, you know. So yeah, and also the VO is kind of represented like that. It's really bad VO. None of it's that great, but what they're trying to do with the MMO is cool, but and it's not free to play, so I can't even say like, "Hey guys, check it out," because I'm pretty sure this was the last beta event. So I don't know. It's a tough sell at $60 in and then $15 a month.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Well, and I mean, if I'm going to drop that kind of money, I'm going to go play Star Wars. So
exactly, and that was my feeling as well. I said this is neat, but if I want to start seriously playing another MMO, I'm going to play the ones I have, not pick up a whole new one. But it was really cool to try the beta and give it a shot.
Yeah. Which brings us to our next game that we both played this weekend. Ryan, you got back into an MMO that you haven't touched for a while.
Yes.
Wow!
Thanks to you. I mean, we talked about this on our last show about the Scroll of Resurrection, right?
Did you actually get that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay, because I never got any kind of notification or email or anything else saying that you got it and accepted it and whatever else, so
I
was kind of like, oh, that's weird.
I tried to add you and Joel the real ID. I just entered your email. I don't know if you guys get a notification for that or if you just log back in and see it.
I will next time I go in, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of figured that I caught you after Friday.
Yeah, I was going to go in today to see if the scroll of if I got any kind of notification because I wanted to talk about it on the show. But then I remembered, like, I got all the way to the screen where it shows you your character, right? Mm-hmm. And then I remembered that when we logged out, we were in the Orc City, which is Orgrimmar, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was literally sitting there at my character screen, and I'm like, that city's really big. I don't know my way around. Joel's not here. And so I didn't log in.
I need an adult.
Exactly. I can't do this alone. Which...
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't actually go in to check, so.
Well, you, correct me, you get a mount and 30 days playtime free, is that it?
No. I think all I get out of the scroll is a mount.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and the interesting thing, I get, well, like we said on the show before, I get 7 days, I get one character to level 80, a free transfer, which I don't. It's interesting because when you apply the scroll, the first thing it does is say, hey, here's 7 days, here's Cataclysm for free, which I already had, so that's fine. And then I think there was one other, but it didn't affect me. But the two that require your further action.
Does it give you the code for Cataclysm?
Oh, I don't know. I think it just upgrades your account because it's all account based.
Oh, okay. So if you already have Cataclysm, basically you're just.
Yeah,
not screwed, but you know, basically you don't get that perk.
No, I think like what happens is if I only had Wrath, it would say, "Hey, we've bumped your account up to Cataclysm level."
Right.
So,
I see.
But yeah, the cool thing is that it gives you those instant ones right off the bat. But then on my profile, when I log into Battle.net, on the right it says, "Hey, you still have pending actions. What character do you want to boost to 80? What character do you want to transfer?" So. That's really cool.
Oh, so it gives you one of your existing characters, allows you to level that character to 80, not a brand new one?
To be honest, I haven't tried yet. I was thinking of just, like, picking a class race combo and starting a level 1 and then just applying it to that, just to have a dude, right? Because I don't really have any invested characters that I need to boost to 80, because we're playing on a whole new server. which...
So did you? Are you going to just start a level one on Argent Dawn, where Joel and I are playing?
Yes, I have started my epic quest with Murpan, the Goblin Shaman.
Nice.
I purchased Cataclysm. It was funny. I just bought it because I was like, yeah, wow, cool. Went to Walmart at midnight. This was in December of what would have been 2011, and I got home.
No, 2010, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
December 2010. Yeah.
So I got home and installed it, and then they said, like, oh, you have to wait until 3 in the morning for the servers to start because they're doing a worldwide launch. And I think I played Cataclysm. Well, I installed it, then went to bed, set my alarm for 3, got back up, played for an hour or two, and I started
nerd.
A war. Yeah. Nerd alert. I started a worgen, got him to, like, level 20 after a couple weeks of playing, but never touched the goblins, which were the other new race for Cataclysm, so I really wanted to try that. And gotta say, the opening area, it's one of the best I've played in WoW, even better than the worgen one.
I heard that the goblin starting area was a lot of fun, and goblins are on the horde side, right?
Yes.
Ah, good, because otherwise I'd have to kick your ass.
Well, I mean, I knew you guys were playing Horde because you had mentioned it, and I was giving you flack because I wasn't sure what you were going to play when you said you were starting.
Yeah.
I prefer Horde over Alliance. I started as Alliance when I first started playing. I had a rogue, Night Elf rogue named Ryabish. And I checked on him, and he's sitting at level 66, and he was the character I played a lot as when I was starting out.
Right.
But he's collected enough dust. And then my other major one is a blood elf named Crassus, and he's a
That's
warlock.
Cool.
But he's on a different
right
server.
Right now, Joel and I just hit level 20 on Friday. So we got our mounts, which was... you know what? I put it in the notes. I'm going to say it out loud. Holy fucking awesome, Batman. Like, it was so much fun. We were like... The mounts that we got, because Joel and I both, I think I mentioned last week, we both signed up for the annual pass. So we got Tyrell's Charger as our, like, bonus for signing up for a year, as well as Diablo 3 for free. But it's the most awesomest horse ever. It's got, like, these, like, misty wings and mane and things, and it just, oh, it looks so awesome. So I was like, well, if this is how awesome, you know, this annual pass mount is, I'm gonna go buy my racial mount and see what that's like. And then it's a freaking rainbow chicken, dude.
It's a chocobo
rainbow chicken. It's the stupidest, ugliest, dumbest ostrich running thing ever. I'm so disappointed.
I didn't mind. My Crassus mount is the actually Crassus just really rides a dragon around, so but yeah, the rainbow chicken
just rides a dragon. No
yeah,
big deal.
No big deal. Crassus, motherfucking warlock, shit at people. Off his dragon. What up? But no, yeah, you're right. I think that was one of the big things that people complained about when which one is it that fucking had the blood elves? Burning Crusade.
Burning Crusade.
Yeah, and a lot of people said, like, chickens. That didn't make sense. Like, chickens didn't...
Well, that's the thing. The blood elves are so... For lack of a better term, pretty. You know, they're really, really tall, and they're all muscular. They've got this super long hair and big pointy ears, and all their gear is pretty cool looking. And then they ride chickens? What? Like, oh, it's so stupid. So I don't use my... I bought it, and then I was like, oh, this is really dumb. Because I thought, I'm like, okay, well, maybe they, like, look cool when they're running or something, or maybe they do something awesome. Yeah, they don't. They look lame and stupid. And I found that, like, because they run like an ostrich. Mm-hmm. So they kind of wobble back and forth. So I found that the wobbling back and forth from one foot to the other when you're running on your mount, it actually kind of made me feel kind of woozy, like queasy. And then I switched back to my horse and it was fine. And I was like, oh, well, that's stupid. So I'm sticking with my horse now. But my horse is awesome.
Huh. I don't know. Does Tyrell's Charger do anything besides just look like a cool horse mount? Does it do anything extra?
I don't know. No, Not yet, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't.
It's like, oh, I mean, look, there's this little compartment down here, and I can put my shit in it. It's like, oh, okay.
No, no, Ryan, that's not what you're supposed to do.
It's like, what? You know, there's no side satchel or something?
Oh, side.
Oh, yes. But Blizzard has actually, put out a lot of these premium mounts that you can buy, and I remember last when I was playing, some of the big mounts were like these group mounts. You could get like a giant, like a car or an elephant where like people could all jump on and you could drive around your buddies, you know?
It's pretty okay, cool. I'm just going to say this because, I mean, I haven't been playing WoW for very long, but I'm not impressed with the guns and the cars. I have this whole like fantasy world in my head. And for some reason, it's really weird because in Fable, I felt like the guns really fit because it was kind of steampunky, I guess. So it was like Industrial Revolution more. But in WoW, it just feels like fantasy medieval type timing. And I feel like, you know, if I'm an elf, I'm not going to be shooting a gun, you know, and or driving a car. It's weird and odd and wrong. And when we went to the orc city, then I was like, there was a little goblin driving a car, and yeah, I was just like, oh.
Well,
it totally just takes me out of the world.
Yeah, and the dwarfs, you didn't really notice it a lot, like in vanilla WoW and a couple expansions after that, before the goblins were kind of in there really hardcore. The dwarves were always, like, even with in past lore in the games, they were always these, like, tinkerers, right? They would always have these, like, steam-powered things. I agree with you. The vehicles is a bit much, but everything before that never really bothered me. But you're right. Like, vehicles is kind of this, like, okay, guys, it's just a little weird. But the goblins really kicked that up a notch, so you do notice that a lot more in Cataclysm, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wasn't really that impressed with that. But I mean, other than that, the other really cool thing that we did on the weekend was we were sitting, like, we pretty much cleared the Ghostlands, which we're both getting sick of it because the Ghostlands is like this bluey, greeny, kind of gray, dead world,
you
right?
Mean it's the and Ghostlands.
I mean, well, yeah, exactly. And so, shut up.
It lives up to its name.
Exactly. But when, I mean, we played it 3 or 4 date nights in a row. And so, you know, we were both just kind of like, okay, are we done all these quests yet? So.
That really put a damper on your date night. It's like, oh, you know what,
Joel? Do you
want
to kill some more skeletons? I guess. Do we have to collect crunchy spider legs? Yes.
It's so gray and dreary. I just want to, you know, I could see that. Yeah.
So anyways, we finally cleared out all the quests, and then there was this, like, one guy at the end. And so we got the quest, and it was, like, rated for 5 or more people. And so Joel and I were kind of talking, and he's like, well, you know, we can go, and we can do more quests, and we can come back and kill this guy later. And I was like, screw that! I'm going to kill him now! It's in my quest list! I'm right here! So the two of us went in, and I have a pet because I'm a hunter, so it was, I guess, kind of the three of us in a way. And so we went in, got our asses totally handed to us, and so we were kind of like, huh, all right. So we were waiting outside again. I think, like, he went and ran back because he's, like, the healer paladin dude. So he ran back to his body, resurrected me, and then we were standing outside, like, talking on Skype and strategizing. So we're sitting there, we're like, okay, well, if we kill, like, make sure we kill both dudes on the side because he's got this, like, fear spell thing that's going to make us run away. And if we run away, we're going to run into the guys in the other hallway. So we have to make sure we clear the hallways first. And the whole time that he's talking, all I could think is, Leroy Jenkins! And I'm like, I'm just going to run in there by myself and totally fuck up his whole strategy. But I didn't. I was good.
Oh, that's good. So did you
but
take
yeah,
him down?
It only took us. Yes, we did. Oh, it only took us 3 tries, and I forgot to revive my pet, so the 3rd try, it was actually just the 2 of us, and we beat him, and we were like, yes! Virtual high five! Boom! It was awesome. And then I realized later, because I think I hit, like, level 21 or 22 or something, so I went back to my hunter trainer, And then I got this new spell, and so I was like, oh, maybe I should look at my spell book. And I had, like, all these, like, really powerful spells that I hadn't even been using. I'd just been using, like, my, like, arrow spell that you get right at the very beginning when you're literally level one. And so I mentioned that to Joel, and he was just like,
oh. Face palm.
Exactly.
You know,
but so then I felt even more proud of myself because I forgot to revive my pet and I wasn't using my strong spells, and we still, just the two of us, kicked his butt. So I think it's just my awesome strategy brain that helped us win.
And also third time's a
charm. And I'm sticking to it.
That's one thing I've noticed playing an intro level character and not having played in a while, is that Blizzard's really improved the way you learn talents. Like, it's just, there's this notification system when you level up. It's like, you're level 6. Here's your new spell. You don't have it yet, but you should go to the trainer, right?
Yeah.
Whereas before, you just kind of had to, like, when you were at the trainer, you're like, okay, I'm getting my spells for level 6. I don't have to come back till level 8. It was kind of like a micromanage thing.
Right.
And that's one of the really cool improvements I've seen, is that they've just really put in a lot of work into informing you as you gain levels and stuff. But... Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not working if you were using a level 1 spell.
I know.
But not anymore.
Well, and I mean, I knew that I'd learned them, but I guess, like, I just didn't really look into it and see how I could use it and stuff like that. And I think there was, like, I tried using a couple of the spells that you get early on, and, like, it didn't really seem to help too much. So, because, I mean, they don't change that much, right? From, like, your level 1 spells to your level 4 spells or whatever. But then I got all of these ones as I was going from level 10 to level 20 that I just didn't even look at. And one of them is, like, they give you, like, the descriptions aren't even, like, this spell it is poisoned arrows or something. It's like, you should use this spell to deal a lot of damage with your first shot. Then you use this spell because this does damage over time. And, you know, like, it's totally laid out pretty much your entire strategy in your spell book, and I was just like, I probably should have read this.
Well, see, that's the thing about being a hunter, is you need to come up with your there's a specific, like, strategy to it, but same with a warlock. It was kind of like your hit strategy, I'll call it. That's not the proper term, but I can't pull it out of my ass right now. But basically, it's like, okay, I start with 1, which is hunter pull, and I start with 2, which is poison sting, then, you know, switch between 3 and 4 till the thing's dead. And that's sort of like the way WoW combat works. So I think once you
I'm getting the hang of that now. I was just going 1, 1, 1, 1, 1.
Well, yeah, and as you continue to learn your spells, you'll get that proper order down, and you'll be killing things in no time for sure.
So by signing up for the annual pass, the other reason that we did it was not only to get the really cool mount, which I think eventually turns into a flying mount once we get our riding skill up high enough, but the other perk to it was that we both got Diablo 3 for free. So there was an open beta on the weekend, and both Joel and I got in. Did you?
Yeah, I played for about an hour, I think, on Saturday for a bit. Yeah, I got some good time in there.
Well, we played, I think, probably about 3 hours on Saturday night of Diablo. And it was a lot of fun. I was surprised because it's not like any game I've ever really played before. And I really enjoyed it. And Joel absolutely fell in love with it. I mean, like, he got up early or something, or couldn't sleep through the night or something on Monday night, or I guess Sunday night. And he played, like, 3 more characters.
Oh, wow.
Like, are you insane? And, yeah, this comes from the non-gamer boyfriend. So, when we played on Saturday night, I rolled a witch, and she was awesome, except very scantily clad, because they show you, well, when you pick your character, they show you with the, like, all this really super cool armor, right? But when you start, you're basically just in rags. So I picked this character, she looked freaking awesome, and then I go into the game and I'm like, oh, I'm kinda naked.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I was the demon hunter, so I see, like, oh, that's my cool armor, and I thought I was gonna start like that, but you get in, you're just, nope, just a normal dude in fucking civvies. God, great.
Did you even have a shirt on? Because I don't think Joel's character even, he was a barbarian, and I don't think he even had a shirt on.
Well, the shirt just gets in the way, right?
Well, that's true, when you're killing stuff and stuff.
I had a shirt on, because my guy kind of came off as like this, I am British, and I'm a demon hunter, and I'm so prim and proper, and I have everything covered. You know, it was like that, but yeah, he was fully clothed.
The chat room just dinged me and wanted to know if I was a witch doctor or a wizard, and I was a wizard character, but I called her a witch because she's a she. So, sorry for the confusion.
So it doesn't switch that up.
No, not the witch doctor. Huh?
Oh, it doesn't switch it up? Or wait, can a wizard not be male and female? I thought it was like a warlock witch thing that was the sex-specific.
I don't know. I thought I was being all like politically correct and stuff because I don't want to piss off any witches or wizards, but... Well, anyways.
Now I won't ask if you got the broomstick
mail. Probably just pissed off everybody now. So one of her really cool powers was she had this like freezing spell that was like AoE, and she just like pounds the ground, and then everything around her, there's like this wave of ice, and everything freezes solid. Everything. And so it's like, if there were like 20 dudes around me, if they got touched by this ice wave, then they're like, choo, statue. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And then, which was really helpful because it's a lot of range stuff. So I found it really hard to attack when they were too close to me. So then I could do the freezing thing and then run away and then start, you know, hucking spells at them again. So it was really cool. But the other power that she had was, I think it was like the second or third power you unlock. And it's like it's another freezing spell, but it's like a concentrated like laser of cold or something. I can't remember what it's called. And it was mapped to my right mouse button. And I'm so used to using the right mouse button to like look around, but you can't look around in Diablo. It's like the one perspective and that's it, right?
Yeah, isometric camera.
Yeah. So we would like clear out a room, and like all the dudes would be dead, and we'd like run around and pick up all the loot, and then I would like press the right mouse button to look around to find the door or something, and it would just be my character randomly going like, ice laser. And Joel was like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, nothing, sorry. And he's like, you're like someone who just found out they were a superhero and have no idea how to use your powers.
What's his face from the X-Men? Cyclops, when he takes his glasses off or something, and he's just like,
yeah! The whole world goes to shit. Exactly.
I could see that.
Yeah. So are you going to pick up Diablo 3? Because I know you obviously haven't signed up for an annual pass, so you don't get it for free, but are you going to buy it?
Yeah, actually, I, having learned from my experience with Mass Effect 3 and the Epic Collector's Edition chase, I have... taken a page out of the Book of Jocelyn and have pre-ordered it from Future Shock.
It's a good book.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I skipped to the ending, and I don't know. You better watch out.
Oh, no!
But something about, like, walking downtown and, like, a piano, I don't know.
Oh, man, death by piano, that's
just
no good.
Don't walk by any piano stores on the 20th floor of a skyscraper. That's all I'll
okay.
say. I don't know if I'm, like, changing the future, but hey, kind of like to keep this going. So anyways, I ordered from Future Shop, and obviously you get the Steelbook, which you got with Mass Effect 3. Looks really cool. Also, they give you, it's kind of standard practice. They give you $5 off for pre-ordering, right?
Which I totally forgot, and I think I might be screwed now, because I think I got $5 off if I bought a game in, I want to say May. No, sorry, April. So, I mean, I have to look into that and do it now. But anyways, yeah, I think you have like a month, or like it's good for the following month after the release of the game that you pre-order or something like that. So, or no, wait, they give you $5 off, but then I got a coupon for another game. Sorry, that was the thing. So $5 off the price of the actual game. And then I got, I think, $5 or $10 off a game purchase in April. So I have to get on that.
Yeah, I haven't seen any sort of like coupon, but I did see in my cart that they took $5 off and also free shipping. So that saves me two trips to the store, once to pre-order and once to pick it up. So the only thing I'm kind of, the reason I always held off on purchasing my games online and having them delivered was that when a game comes out, even if I only have like an hour to play it that first night, I want to have it that first night so I can just, you know, play it. Because that's the day it comes out. I've been looking forward to it. So worst case scenario for me is like, oh my God, you know, the game comes a day late, or the game comes and he doesn't leave it in the mailbox. But it should be, it's small enough that it should kind of fit in my mailbox, right? So,
Well, mine did when I got Mass Effect 3, and it was the steelbook and the actual, like, they give you the case that it actually comes in. So, I mean, it should be fine.
Well, yeah.
And mine was delivered day of release, so.
Good. And did your, like, shipping thing say, like, estimated delivery the day after release? Because that's what mine says.
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
Mine said, I think I ended up for Mass Effect because I really, really, really wanted it right away, and, like, I think I mentioned, the only places that I could go are about an hour away from me to go actually get it at the store. So that's why I ordered from Future Shop, and I actually paid the extra to get the expedited shipping or whatever, because my ship date was like from the day Mass Effect was released until like the week after. And I was like, well, I don't really want to wait a week for Mass Effect. So I paid for the bump up, and then it was like, I think, because Mass Effect came out on Tuesday, and so I think my shipping window was like the Tuesday to the Friday instead of like the Tuesday to the Friday of the next week. And but it still came on the Tuesday, like it came the day of release. So I was like, oh well.
But the difference is you paid for the shipping, right? So I didn't pay, so we'll see how it works. But I've
any other time I've ordered anything else from Future Shop with the free shipping, I always get it the next day. So I was just like, I was just being dumb and freaking out about not having Mass Effect on time. So.
Yeah, and I mean, if I don't get it day, like, this isn't one, like, I played the beta just to kind of see if I'd enjoy it, and I played a Demon Hunter, and Blizzard makes great games, and this was no different, and just the polish there, just like, yep, sold, voice acting, gameplay, it's all there. So if you are hesitating on this game, don't, because you're going to enjoy it, especially if you have a PC and you're just itching for some new PC games, definitely get this one.
One thing that I did that I was curious about, that I'm not really sure if it's because it's just the beta or if it's going to change at all, because again, I've never played another Diablo title, but do you know if you're going to be able to customize your character at all?
No. The way you look is kind of set. The customization comes in with just the armor you pick up, I believe.
Right.
Unfortunately. It's not...
Yeah, because my wizard had black hair, and I was like, I just can't identify with her. I really want her to have blonde hair, but I guess I can't.
That really sucks. Here. You know, like, changing your hair color at the very least would be neat.
Well, and that's the thing, because, I mean, the camera is zoomed out so far that you can't see a whole lot of detail, so it's not that big a deal. But, I mean, the things that you can see are, like, the color of armor that you wear and the, like, banner that you have when, you know, whatever that's for, and, you know, and the hair color. So, right. You know,
but
being able to customize the big things like that that you can see would be interesting. But
that would change the concept art kind of look and feel of when your character talks, it shows your avatar.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure they could easily fix, like, change that up so it would work. But I guess it just wasn't in the cards.
Well, yeah. I mean, they could even do, like, you know, black, brown, blonde, red, and then maybe like purple or blue or something, like a little funkier, and then, you know, that would just be like five avatars that they would have to do, and then, you know, your character stays the same the whole way through, so then they just say, if blue, then avatar pack one, if blonde, then avatar pack two, you know. So
that's a good point. I mean, Blizzard, you're so late. We're not asking for a color swatch. We're just asking for like five different even, you know, a couple options. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, well. Blizzard.
We kid. I kid. Blizzard, you do no wrong. You do no wrong. Sometimes.
On that note, I think it's probably time, unless you have other stuff to talk about and what we're playing. Yes, no?
No, I'm good.
You're good? All right, well then, let's move on to Quickfire News.
Indeed. The humble... Oh, God, I even spelled this out. The humble botanicula... debut, the Humble Bundle Group is back with yet another pay-what-you-want offer. The bundle includes Botanicula, Machinarium, and Samifrost 2. Beat the average donation, and they'll throw in Windowsill and the feature-length film Kooky.
That's awesome. I was going to just jump into the next news story, and I was like, you couldn't have paid, like, they couldn't have bundled any other games with, like, worse names or, like, harder names to pronounce on the fly when we're trying to do quick news.
I was even practicing.
Like, everyone needs.
I was even practicing. I had it phonetically spelled out for me. Botanicula. 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 There we go.
There you go. 10th time is the charm.
Exactly.
So, Sony speaks up about missing Mass Effect 3 multiplayer events. A spokesperson told Shack News that Sony is currently working together with EA and BioWare to bring Mass Effect 3 multiplayer weekends to the PS3. Since the launch of the Mass Effect 3 weekend events have been exclusive to Xbox 360 and PC. I wrote that wrong, sorry guys. Multiplayer weekends have also moved from weekly events to bi-weekly events. Boo and hiss.
Indeed. God of War Ascension announced. Kratos is back in his most ambitious God of War adventure yet. Ascension works as a prequel to the franchise and will be released in spring 2013 for the PS3. More info is expected at this year's E3 in June.
And Valve is playing well with others by developing a Steam and the Source engine for Linux. This should be released later on this year. Left 4 Dead 2 will be the first Source-based title available on Linux. Geeks are pleased.
And if you haven't played Left 4 Dead 2, you're probably a Linux person, right? So, New Super Mario Bros. 2 for the 3DS. Little details are known about the title, but Nintendo has confirmed the return of Raccoon Mario. Yay! Luigi will be present in the game. And release is pegged for August 2012. That's good. Gameplay will be similar to the Wii and DS titles carrying the same New Super Mario Bros. Brand.
Arkham City is getting new story DLC. Harley Quinn's Revenge will act as the final chapter in the game, adding more than 2 hours of gameplay. It will also give players the opportunity to play as both Batman and Robin. Release date is set for May 29th on Xbox Live and PSN. However, no PC release date has been announced.
That's weird.
Yeah, I know we're not supposed to actually talk about quick news, but I was kind of surprised that they didn't have DLC for the PC announced.
Yeah, it's weird because we'll have the article in the show notes, but if you read it, which you should, it kind of details that the DLC is attached to the Game of the Year edition, which is coming out on May 29th, a new copy of the game that will be available in stores. And it kind of bundles all of the skins and DLC that came out before, as well as this new stuff. And they're actually not releasing that on PC, which is very weird. Kind of ignoring a whole platform just seems crazy to me.
Well, and as far as I know, Arkham City does very well on PC, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, it was delayed by about a month, but as far as I know, it runs fine. It's available on Steam. You know, maybe they'll make an announcement, you know, a month after it comes out.
Month after, yeah.
And say, like, hey, guys, we haven't forgot. We had to spend more time on it because the PC just requires more work. So.
Right. Well, that could be possible.
Hopefully.
All right. So, topic of the week. This week, we are going to be talking about Kickstarter and its impact on indie games. There have been a whole lot of projects lately, ever since the Double Fine Kickstarter project raised over $3 million, which was, I don't even know how many percent of their goal, but their goal was only $400,000. So, I mean, they blew it out of the water. And so ever since then, there's been kind of an explosion of gaming projects on Kickstarter. So, Ryan, what do you think about all this?
I actually think it's really cool. Like, when we were researching for the show, I pulled up a bunch of the Kickstarters that have been doing really well. And I found that most of them are kind of like, hey, we made this game 20 years ago. It was popular then, but it's not so popular now. But we know there's enough people out there that want to play these games. So you look at the Double Fine Kickstarter and they're saying, we want to build a point-and-click adventure, which were popular, you know, 20 years ago, and now you don't see them very often. But you'll notice it got 87,000 backers, so those people want to play those games. I personally did not kick into this one. Did you kick into it, or...?
No, I didn't. I actually haven't kicked into anything on Kickstarter yet. I intended to kick into the Nerdtacular Frog Pants event, but then we kind of, like, Joel and I were talking, and we're pretty strapped for cash, so we figured, you know, like, as much as we want to support Scott and the network and the event, we are flying all the way from Halifax to Utah, and we kind of figured that, you know, that was enough. So we're, and I mean, tickets are 25 or 30 bucks anyways, so we're like, well, you have to pay, I think 50 bucks was the lowest one that you could do to get your ticket, and then I think you got a signed picture from Scott or something. So we're like, well, why would we pay like $100 for two tickets instead of like 50 or 60? So we're just kind of watching our pennies. So that would have been the first Kickstarter that I would have backed. And so I kind of, Kickstarter does make me a little bit nervous, which is also, there's another one that we're going to talk, another gaming project that's coming up. It's right now has not met its goal, and it's Republic, which is, they're aiming to have a console experience on iOS. And I do want to get into Kickstarter and back projects, but it does make me nervous. Like, it didn't make me nervous backing Nerdtacular, or wouldn't have if that's the choice that we had made, because, like, I know Scott. I'm, you know, like, so... But backing a random developer that, you know, there's no kind of legal ramifications if they don't follow through, that makes me nervous. I don't know about you, but that makes me nervous.
It would if the Republic Kickstarter wasn't as developed as a lot of these other ones. Like, when you look at Republic and you watch that video, they have a game, they have a preliminary game running. They have every mind to, you know, they have every idea there. They want to finish the game. They will finish the game. But the point of the Kickstarter is, if you read to the very end there, at the very end they state that if this Kickstarter fails, we still plan to do the game. Obviously, they won't get any money from anyone, but they said the reason they're doing the Kickstarter is they want to keep the game within their own, like, development circles. They don't want to have to, like, do any profit sharing or get an investor that wants to say, actually, they just don't want investors mucking with their idea, right? Like, because they think they have the perfect idea, and the only way to kind of, well, it's similar to the Double Fine thing. The only way they can make this project is without a publisher, like, pointing them in certain directions. And that seems to be a theme with a lot of these Kickstarters. Like, a lot of them are developers saying, we have this great idea, and we don't want publishers telling us what to do. So we're asking you, we're going directly to the gamers. So Republic, like, yeah, sadly, it's like, I guess, you know, one-fifth of the way to its goal with, like, 2 weeks left, is it?
Yeah. It doesn't look very promising. I'm going to throw the link in the chat room now so you guys can take a look if you haven't already. And I watched the video about Republic, and it looks awesome. Like, it's a game that I would totally pick up and play, and I would probably pay $5 or $10 for it on the iOS, and because it looks like they're putting a lot of time and effort and voice acting and you know, like, it looks really great. And actually, I think it might look so good because I still have a 3GS. But the point is, like, they're putting a lot into this. So it's a game that I would pay money for if it was sitting in the App Store right now. Then I would pay money for it. It's the whole Kickstarter idea that just kind of makes me a little nervous. Because, like I said, I haven't won the lottery. So I don't have a lot of money. And I can just say, like, oh, $20 here, $30 there. Sure, make me a game 3 years from now. Why not?
Well, yeah, it's tough to, and that's something that I see as well. Like, I look at all these great projects, and I'm like, yeah, throw money at that, throw money at that. But you don't see a return for a year or two. Like, especially with Republic, they've been in development since October, and they, I think on the Kickstarter, they say they're looking for a launch of fall. Not exactly sure, but the only way they take your money is if they meet their goal. So right now they're at 90,000.
Right.
If you were to kick in the bare minimum of 10 bucks, it wouldn't charge to your account until it goes through. But
yes.
And again, out of all of these we have listed, like that would be the one if they did make it, I could see them finishing it. Like they're very mm-hmm. passionate. Same with Double Fines. Like if they made off their Kickstarter $400,001, I could still seeing them finishing the game, giving you a product for the money you put in.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. There's some out there. There's some Kickstarters out there that are being put out by just random people. And it's like, hey, I need $1 million to develop the next big game. You know, give it to me. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
So one of the things, did you actually back, because I know Zombies Run is in our list of Kickstarter projects here, and you discussed it on the last podcast. So did you kick in for that when it was Kickstarter, or did you just pick it up later on?
I did not kick into it, but that's kind of how I found out about it, because it was a lot of places like to talk about these Kickstarter projects because they're games being put out that are different. You know, they're different, and they're not the same that you can same game you can pick up from the shelf. So when I heard about Zombies Run, it was like, hey, here's this interesting project that went through Kickstarter, and they were successful. They made 7 times the amount of money they were asking for, and mm-hmm. The rewards were kind of neat. Like you got early access to the game, you could get your name in the game. But no, I didn't kick into it. I would have liked to. I really enjoy the game, and it would have been cool to kind of be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Which was one thing that I saw with the Republic rewards. And I mean, obviously it was way out of my budget. But, you know, like some of the things were like, you know, get your likeness in the game, get your voice in the game. And I was like, you know, that would be really cool to be a voice actor on a video game. Like, considering how much I love playing, like, all these different types of games, it'd be so much fun if I was, like, playing a game and all of a sudden I was, like, talking to myself. That would be really, really cool. But I was just, I think it was, like, $5,000 or $7,500 or something to have your voice in the game, plus, like, all the other previous reward levels. But I was just like, oh man, I kind of went. Maybe I should have a Kickstarter to fund me to be able to put into a Kickstarter to get my voice in the game.
And there you go.
So meta.
I feel the same way, actually, about some of these rewards. Like, I have actually kicked into it. You mentioned the Nerdtacular Kickstarter. I kicked into that. I'm unfortunately not able to attend, but I was able to get one of the 125 brackets, which got me mm-hmm. a DVD, a swag bag, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that's really cool to be able to throw money into it and then get those rewards, like to be, you know, with these, like you mentioned, with the games, like a voiceover, like you wouldn't normally get that because you're not in that sort of field, right? You're not a voice actor, but you can pay your way into
Maybe
it.
Maybe
right?
I should be.
There you go. Maybe they should be paying you $5,000.
Yeah.
Rather than the other way around. But a lot of these games listed have these neat rewards where it's like, you know, get your name in there, get a character named after you, and I think that really, if you have the money, I mean, I probably wouldn't give somebody $5,000 to let me get into a game
to be in their game. Yeah. And I mean, like I said, that you do get all the other previous reward levels as well, but I mean, still, that's a lot of money to throw out there.
Yeah.
And besides, I mean, I'm a pretty cute chick. I can just lick a controller and they'll throw me in the next Mass Effect.
It wasn't a controller. It was a PSP. But you got to wait for new portables to come out. I think those all been licked and kind of...
Ew!
You know. Well, I'm saying is maybe when the Wii U comes out, you could give that a lick. Well, you have to wait for a new console. Then people will be calling you a copycat, right? So I'm just looking out for you.
Right, yeah. That's the problem.
It's just an unfortunate name paired with that action.
Go lick a Wii U.
Yeah. Probably shouldn't do that. You might catch something.
On that note.
Yeah.
Are we pretty much done?
I think
it's time to move on to listener feedback. So we had a couple of tweets this week. Ryan, do you want to talk about the tweets?
Sure. We had what I believe to be a new listener. Ben Gardner on Twitter sent us a few messages. He actually tweeted us, the hosts, specifically. And he said he's a fan of the show. He downloads Gamers In every week, and he's a huge fan. And you can find him on Twitter at 1906_Ben if you want to give him a follow.
We thank Ben very much for listening to the show.
Yeah.
And so if you want to be just like Ben, you can email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can visit us on the web at www.gamersinpodcast.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers In. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheGamersIn and on Google+. So before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at www.starcrossedonline.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn. I will be traveling next week, so it's guys' night here at the inn. Make sure you join Ryan and two returning guest hosts, Lou Page and Paul Swickard, to get your TGI fix. The show records live every Wednesday at 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time, so come join us at www.gamersinpodcast.com/live. The chat room doesn't bite. Hard. Good night.
Bye.
Roll a fat D20.
I'm only 25.
And apparently a Christmas poof.
I'm this many.
You can ping either of us if you want us to quickly flip over. We're not staying, so don't pull any shit, all right? I'll turn this podcast right around.
Hello, this is IT. Have you tried turning it on and off again?
That's weird. Can I ask how you found that out? Because that is kind of creepy. It just sounded like Skype was a cat and just was not happy. So I was like,
oh, I see.